preliminary testing results show E. coli is present in the Mud Bay spring water. And a look at which Haines residents are running in the October municipal election. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. A popular but unregulated and untreated drinking water source in Haines has tested positive for E. coli. KHNS had a sample of the Mud Bay spring water tested as part of a series focused on answering listener questions. Juneau-based water testing company Admiralty Environmental says preliminary results show E. coli is present in the water. E. coli is a type of fecal coliform bacteria associated with human or animal waste. The bacteria is not always harmful, but certain strains can cause health problems. Admiralty's test does not include what level or strain of the bacteria is present. Federal standards for drinking water do not allow for any level of E. coli. The Haines Borough does not regulate or test the Mud Bay Spring, but many residents use it as their drinking water. The spring is located near Letnikoff Cove. Cindy Christian, a drinking water specialist with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, says she would recommend boiling the water if it is going to be consumed. These are preliminary results. KHNS will have more information after Admiralty Environmental completes its full report in the next couple weeks. Haines residents who do not get the borough's water supply to their home can pay $30 per season to get water from their tanks. Haines has competitive races for mayor and assembly this fall. Incumbent Mayor Jan Hill is being challenged by political newcomer Joni Wagner. Hill is finishing up a 3-year term as mayor and has served in the position before. Wagner is an artist and business owner. She ran unsuccessfully for public office once before, prior to borough consolidation. The assembly saw 2 resignations earlier this year, so there are 3 seats opening in October. 2 hold 3-year terms and 1 holds a 1-year term. 6 candidates are vying for the 3 positions. They are Stephanie Scott, Sean Mady, Diana Lapham, Brenda Josephson, Andrew Gray, and Michael Fullerton. Mady and Scott are currently serving on the assembly as appointees. It's Mady's first foray into local politics, but not Scott's. She is a former mayor. Lapham served on the assembly until 2016 when she lost a bid for re-election. Josephson is on the Planning Commission and served 4 years on the school board. This is her first assembly campaign. Gray is a civil engineer who's lived in Haines for about a year. Michael Fullerton moved to Haines about 2 years ago. He currently works as the local wildlife trooper's assistant and serves on the Public Safety Commission. Gray and Fullerton have not run for elected office before. The school board race is made up of incumbents. President Anne-Marie Palmieri is running to retain her position. So are members Sarah Chapel and Brian Clay. There are 4 open seats on the education board. 3 come with 3-year terms, and 1 holds a 1-year term. The local election is October 3rd. The Haines School has a new top administrator this year, but it's not Rich Carlson's first time in the district. This is Carlson's second time filling in as interim superintendent at the Haines School. He held the same position during the 2015 to 2016 school year, and Carlson says it feels like he never left.
It feels comfortable, feels like home, and I like Haines and I like the people here.
Carlson has been working in education for more than 40 years. Much of that time was in Alaska. He spent 12 years as superintendent in Klawak before retiring. Then he was in Cordova for a year before his first stint in Haines. Carlson was superintendent at the Haines School until the board hired Tony Habra at the start of the 2016 school year. In July, the board ended Habra's contract after about a year because it was not satisfied with his work performance. That's when Carlson got another call.
I got a phone call from John Cedar, who was the attorney, asking if I'd be interested. And frankly, I said, John, I'm not looking for a job. But I did preface it with, if there's something I can do, let me know. And again, here I am.
Carlson's contract is for 1 year. It could end early if the board finds a full-time superintendent before that. Carlson says part of his job this year is to help the board with the search for a permanent superintendent. But that's not all he's focused on. Carlson also wants to work on revising the strategic plan and making sure the district is financially stable.
The budget is always, in Alaska right now, is always a major hurdle. And I think that, while we're not in a financial dire straits, we're going to have to manage the budget carefully, particularly looking at not so much this year, but trying to project what we're going to be looking at in 2019 and 20.
The district is down a couple positions following budget cuts made at the end of last school year. It downsized by one administrator after assistant principal Cheryl Stickler's retirement.
We've reorganized, consolidated some of the job responsibilities. I have one of the responsibilities in curriculum that the superintendent didn't have in the past. But I've got a really, really good staff. They're really competent. We'll make it work.
Carlson says the transition into this school year should be smooth since he already knows a lot of the staff.
It takes 3 or 4 months to kind of get the lay of the land and know the people and starting, to know their strengths and their weaknesses and whatnot. And I do kind of feel like I kind of hit the ground running this time because I know them. I know their strengths and weaknesses. So I'm looking forward to that because we've got some really talented people working in the school district.
Though he was starting to get used to retirement, Carlson says he is also happy to be back in school.
After 44 years, it's part of life. It's just what I do. And as silly as it sounds, I feel comfortable in schools. I feel comfortable in this kind of a position. And I was starting to get comfortable in retirement, I have to say. But it took a while. It took a while just to kind of, to get a different mindset on life. And I was pretty happy doing that.
The first day of school in Haines is Tuesday, August 22nd. The Haines Assembly this week will consider an ordinance establishing what little regulation is allowed on companies like Uber and Lyft. If approved, drivers for the networks would need a borough business license and would be required to pay local sales tax. The ordinance also eases the barrier to entry for prospective taxi companies by reducing insurance requirements. The assembly will also decide whether to make service area financing more flexible. The proposal would align code with charter and allow the borough to use more than property taxes to fund service areas. This will be pertinent as the Assembly considers whether to establish a new police service area. There is a public hearing on an ordinance that would make official the Assembly's decision to reduce the mayor's salary. The Assembly voted for that cut in the FY18 budget. It lowers mayoral pay from $15,000 to $6,000 annually, starting after the October election. The question of how to pay for LUTAC DOT comes up in Manager Deborah Schnabel's report to the Assembly. Borough staff recommend the group endorse a less ideal but cheaper dock renovation. Previously, the Assembly supported a $37 million encapsulation design, but staff say they may have more success getting federal funding with a $21 million design. That plan would replace the dock with berthing dolphins. The Assembly is also set to conduct Schnabel's 3-month evaluation. Schnabel requested the review take place in public rather than in executive session. The meeting is Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. The state has pushed back the bid deadline for the ferry Taku again. That's because a potential buyer wants more time. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Anyone who wants to purchase the tied-up state ferry Taku now has until September 15th to submit a bid. It's the fourth extension since the Alaska Marine Highway System began advertising the ship back in March. Spokeswoman Ora Landau says the reason is simple. A potential yet-to-be-named buyer hasn't decided yet.
They've looked it over once and they're coming back. Kind of like going to look at that house you're going to buy a second time just because you want to be sure it's got the exact things you want on it.
And in terms of the timeline, the date is September 15th, and has anybody said, well, that's it, or could it be extended further?
We don't anticipate that it'll be necessary to move the bid due date out again.
Officials are not releasing the asking price, though it's below $750,000, the most recently advertised minimum. The state wants to get rid of the Taku because it's old and new vessels are being built. The 54-year-old ship was taken out of service in June of 2015 as a budget-cutting measure, but it was already being targeted for retirement. While the focus is on one interested buyer, Landau says the bid extension is for all parties.
Anybody who puts in a bid that is near the reserve price is one that the state will consider very seriously.
The Taku was built for long sailings, with room for about 350 passengers and 50 vehicles. It has 40 staterooms, a cafeteria, observation lounges, and a covered solarium. It's in long-term storage at Ketchikan's Ward Cove. The two ships under construction are smaller and meant for shorter sailings. They're scheduled to come into service within the next 2 years, connecting Juneau, Haines, and Skagway. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.